Hey, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Okay, it says it's working. Thank you. Ephesians chapter 1, we're starting in verse 3. Okay. I'm getting text from all over Texas. Okay. One or two signals okay? Good? Nat? Okay. A little bit off? Okay. Okay, good. Okay, so we're at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms and with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. You know, just reading these verses, you begin to realize that you and I are recipients. We are the beneficiaries of God's grace time and time again. And the reason why we break bread is to be reminded of the fact that we have benefited from his grace, the knowledge of sins forgiven and peace with God. Verse 9, and he made known to us the mystery of his will. Now you might be wondering, well, what does that mean? What is the mystery of his will? Well, the mystery of God's will is that he would want all men to come to a saving knowledge of his Son, the Lord Jesus. That in fact, God desires all men to understand his marvelous grace so that all men would receive the forgiveness of sins and that all men would have eternal life. That is the mystery of his will. And Paul picks up on that again in the book of Romans, where he basically tells us, in view of this mystery that we've received, just think about it. God loves us in spite of the fact that we're sinful. So then it says in the rest of that verse, which he purposed in Christ, verse 10, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment. So all of this is going to come to fruition where you and I will be glorified. There will be no more sin. There will be no more death. There will be no knowledge again of all of the repercussions of our past because we will have everything wiped away, as it were, as we enter the eternal state. So all the suffering that you may be enduring and witnessing in our world, that'll be forever gone. And so this is to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we commit our morning to you. We thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for what we've already read in verses 15 to 24 and now verses 3 to 10 in Ephesians chapter 1. Our desire, Lord, is to get to know you better. We thank you for the worship team and the ministry and song and all the work that's gone on. Thank you for the guys that are working technically behind the scenes to make this live stream possible. And we just pray that as we're in our homes, that we wouldn't get so caught up in all the things that are happening, but may we pause and give you praise and glory and honor. May we be refreshed in spirit as we spend time meditating upon your goodness and realizing how deeply loved we are by you. And so I pray for each one and pray for our world that many would come to know you today because your word is being proclaimed and believers are living by faith. Commit our time to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. I sent out an invitation just asking various ones who might want to participate here this morning, and a few have responded, and so I'm just going to give them an opportunity to come up and share from the Word, and then we'll come back to our text and maybe just share a few more words in terms of our response in regards to prayer. And I think we need to be much in prayer on a daily basis just for our own ability to maintain perspective. And then, of course, to remember those who aren't, how could I put it, maybe experiencing the joy that you and I are. They're actually overwhelmed and are being affected directly by the events that are taking place in our world today. Anyway, I just want to invite the rest of the men, if they want to come up and share, to come and do so right now.
Like to share from Isaiah 53. Let's start reading at verse 1. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can have your word, and we can learn, and Lord, that you want us to know that you love us and that you've paid the penalty for our sin so we can have peace with you, Lord. Thank you that you give us hope in times that seem hopeless and we're questioning things. And Lord, we thank you that we can look to your word for encouragement and for guidance. Lord, I pray that we would spend time reflecting on who you are and how you want us to live in these times. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, I'll get you to turn to 1 John chapter 4, and I'll read verses 7 to 19. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Let's pray. Our great Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you are our God, that you love us so deeply, and that you sent your only Son, Jesus. Thank you that through Jesus we can have eternal life, living the life of God at the moment we placed our faith in you. Help us to enjoy this. Help us to abide in you. Help us to walk closely with you so that our love will be shown and witnessed by others around us. Thank you for what you've done for us. Help us to just live our lives, Lord, that others will be attracted to you through our lives. Help us not to live in fear, but help us to just live in confidence, knowing that you care for us and that we are held by you. Thank you for this privilege here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Turn your Bibles to Romans 5. The title on this chapter is called Peace and Joy. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that we can have peace with you because of what you've done for us. Thank you that we can rejoice in our sufferings, even though it might not seem pleasant at the time. Thank you for the hope that we have in you. Thank you that you died for us and that you gave us eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, John. Thank you, Corny. Thank you, Nat. And just want to mention to the rest of you who are just sort of joining in on the on a live stream here this morning that it's not quite the same without you being here, and yet much of the world lives with that. And so when we meet the Lord, all of this is going to be a distant memory in that sense. So in Ephesians chapter 1, I want to take you to those verses that Corny read for us in verses 15 to 24. So listening and hearing about someone's faith, you know, to be encouraged when someone says, you know, I'm actually learning something, is very encouraging. And you can imagine the Lord Jesus as he ascended, knowing full well that the things that he had taught his disciples, if they took the time to reflect upon it, would actually have impact upon their lives. The Apostle Paul, having spent a number of years at Ephesus, was hearing about their faith. And so you may be wondering, you know, who's hearing about my faith? Well, the people who hear about your faith are the people in your family, your place of work, your neighbors, your business associates, people that we come into contact with from day to day, week to week. They're hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus. They're hearing about your love for all the saints. Now, maybe you say, well, I haven't really told anybody that I love my church. Maybe I want to challenge you with that this week, that you love the church body, that you love the believers with whom you associate with, the ones who pray for you, the ones who actually minister to you. So we're very fortunate to have a church body like that. Paul goes on to say in verse 16, I've not stopped giving thanks for you. Again, the breaking of bread is about giving thanks. In fact, the Greek word for Eucharist is to give thanks, okay? So I have not stopped giving thanks for you. And then he says, remembering you in my prayers. And again, just want to reiterate how important it is for you and me to be involved in praying. Praying for people, praying for ourselves, asking God for wisdom, for grace, for strength to be able to persevere in times that are unforeseen. In fact, we'd have to admit that much of our lives is so predictable. And now we're living in a point in time where everything's unpredictable. Everything's unpredictable. And in fact, it actually should give you a little more pizzazz. It should actually say, hey, here's another opportunity where I can demonstrate to others that I can overcome in the midst of adversity. I keep asking, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you an attitude of wisdom. And you say, no, that's not what it says. It says the spirit of wisdom. And you'll notice that spirit can be either a small s or a large s. And I believe it's a small s here as it relates to the way that you respond to the grace and the love of God. And so Paul is appealing to the Lord, and he's saying, I'm praying that your attitude would be one of wisdom, one of revelation. In other words, realizing all that you have received would have an impact upon your life. What you've come to know would affect the way that you think, the way that you live. And so that wisdom and that revelation would help you know him better. And this knowledge, of course, is one that's by faith, where I say, Lord, I thank you. Not having met you face to face, I know that you love me. I'm comforted by that. I rest in your promises for me. Verse 18, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Figurative language, meaning that your heart would be open, okay? Open to what? Open to what God has permitted in your life and mine. And how, in turn, he has supplied everything that you need to live a godly life. Of course, it's also reference to the fact that he wants you, your heart to be enlightened with a knowledge of a coming day, so that you may know the hope to which he has called you. This hope to which he has called you and me is nothing less than to co-rule with him, to actually live with God. And then he says also the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. This glorious inheritance in the saints is a share that you and I have. It's not going to be equal. It's going to have to do with the way that you're living, the way that you're responding to what you know. In fact, much of the time we actually all know, let's put it this way, in terms of what has been revealed about Jesus, what he has done, but not all of us experience the same degree of response because not all of us show the appreciation for what we have received. And so he says he wants you to know this this great glorious inheritance in the saints and the incomparable great power for us who believe. This great power, and I was looking it up in the Greek text here a little bit and thinking about how am I going to translate the Greek word ace. That's the Greek word there. E, iota, sigma. How should I translate that? Should it be for me or towards me? Well, we could certainly say it was on our behalf if you want to say that his incomparable great power was on my behalf for all who believe. What power was that? Well, the power was that he would actually send his son, as we were reading in Romans chapter 5, so that you and I would be declared righteous. So that you and I would actually have a better life. So that although we live in a world which is tainted with all kinds of corruption, we could look with the eyes of faith and see that it isn't limited to what we're seeing here and now. In fact, we read about that over in, I'm thinking it's 1 Corinthians 4. Now I got to go and look, okay? So bear with me. I'm going to go and look there. If you want to follow, that's great. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. No, it's 2 Corinthians 4. That's what it is. I knew as soon as I said 1 Corinthians 4, it's got to be 2 Corinthians 4. Okay, here it is. Look at this. Verse 17, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, for what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. Back over to Ephesians chapter 1. This incomparable great power on our behalf, for us, or towards us. It was extended towards us in the sense that he wants also us to have life. And he says that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And that brings us to the Lord's table. We are here recognizing that God has conquered death. It takes us back to John chapter 11, where Jesus says to Martha, you know, do you believe this? Do you believe that although a man may die, yet shall he live? Do you believe that a person who believes in Jesus as a Savior, as a Messiah, has passed from death to life? That's the power of God. And then it says, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. So far, we have looked at Paul's prayer. We have looked at the benefits in the first, from verses 3 to 10 in Ephesians chapter 1, that a believer gets to experience and to understand that what is true of the future is actually true now as it relates to the knowledge of sins forgiven and peace with God. So verses 9 to 11, and this is my prayer. So here's Paul's prayer, knowing what he's already written back there, Ephesians. These are prison epistles. He was meditating upon these things when he was under house arrest. Pardon me. Almost feels that way, doesn't it? Yeah. You feel that some of your freedoms have been limited. But notice how he didn't allow that house arrest to limit his understanding. He seized upon it. He seized upon it and he says, one thing that I can do is that I can pray for the Philippians. I can pray for the Ephesian believers. And what does he say? This is my prayer that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. How can your love abound? So as you love Christ, guess what ends up happening? As you seek to grow in that knowledge and that understanding, you long to love him more. You long to understand what it is to join him, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. Somehow join him in his sufferings, as Frank so aptly reminded us a few weeks back. Know that I may abound more and more. Where sin abounded, grace abounded more. And when that love abounds, when that love abounds in more and more, I grow in a greater appreciation, a greater experiential knowledge by faith in the person of his Son. For what purpose? So that you may discern. Discern what? Discern what is best. Don't you want to know what's best? And that you may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. I want to be found blameless. I want to be pure until I meet the Lord Jesus, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. Through what? Through Jesus Christ. That fruit of righteousness comes through an experiential knowledge. This term experiential knowledge, by the way, is not about getting a buzz. It's not a spiritual high in the sense when I get it together with believers. No, no. The experiential knowledge, it comes to a deeper appreciation as I meditate in my communion, in my fellowship with God. As I realize the depths of his love for me, how it transforms my heart, my attitude, my mind, in all of my relationships. It affects how I relate to God, how that I praise him and honor him. And so that is to the glory and the praise of God. Turn with me again to another admonition, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, we're going to be exhorted to pray. I was going to send an email out on Friday. I was thinking about this and don't you think it's time to be prayerful? Sort of say, well, of course we're being prayerful. But don't you think it's really time to be prayerful when you're losing perspective? That's when I really need to pray. I have to confess, I'm overwhelmed by all that I see and all that's going on. And, you know, as fathers, we'd like to fix it. As men, we would like to fix it, but we can't. We actually have to trust God with all of this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 13, it says, live in peace with each other. Greek word, herene. Herene, yeah. Peace. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. You know when I have peace? I have peace when I bow the knee before my Savior. And I have peace when I break bread and I remember his love for me. That's why the church, in the early church, they broke bread day by day, because of the richness of knowing that they were forgiven and loved by God. We urge you, brothers, to warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak. Oh, no. You want to strike out these next few words. Be patient with everyone. Oh, no. He didn't say that, did he? Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Don't you find it a little difficult? I do. I don't say that because I'm proud of it. I'm just trying to help you realize that we all struggle with what's going on. Verse 16, be joyful always. Can you? Well, you can. You should. But you'd have to quickly confess, I'm not, unless I actually focus on you, Lord. Only as I keep my eyes on you, Lord, can I be joyful. Pray continually. Again, the admonition to pray continually, you think that's easy? That would mean that you'd actually have to be dependent upon God 24/7. So, well, aren't we supposed to be? Yes. But you'd have to confess again that you're not. I'm not. Give thanks again in all circumstances. See, the breaking of bread is about giving thanks in the midst of our circumstances. It's not simply for the act of Calvary, but the life that you have, the life that we're experiencing, the challenges and the disappointments. Got an email from David Castille, who's in Haiti. Just wants me to remember him in prayer. Sent him a little bit of an email just responding to that. Victor Fernandez Jr. sends me an email and just says, you know, appreciate prayer. I've been sick for the last few weeks. Some are saying that it's COVID, but I went to the place to get tested and I was in line so long that I got out of line and just went home and said, I'll figure it out. Whether he does or he doesn't, you know what he wants? He wants to be encouraged and he would like to be healed in that sense. Yeah. Throughout the week, I've been reminded that we are living in troublesome times. It doesn't take long. You only need to listen to the news for about 5 minutes to get overwhelmed. To listen to the global agendas, the so-called resets. Listen, Jesus came to reset everything. He's resetting it. Period. He's dealt with all the sin. And so I come and I break bread to be reminded of that and to say, thank you, Lord, that you've done it all. So give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I'm going to ask the fellows that are coming up to help with breaking of bread to come forward at this time, and then I'll get one of the men here to give thanks. Okay.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you again. Thank you for giving your life so that we could be set free. Thank you for the freedom we have, even though right at this moment it probably doesn't feel like we have all our freedoms, but we do have our freedom in you, and we just want to thank you for that. Help us to focus on what you've done and how you lead us every day. Lord, I just pray as we partake of the bread, Lord, which just gives us a picture of your body being broken for us. I pray that you will bless it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ask you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Of course, there are many different passages that we could turn to. That we could turn to in regards to remembering the Lord and his death and resurrection. The Apostle Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." We don't know exactly when he received it, when the Lord told him, but apparently it would appear that the Lord had shared that event, that time, with the Apostle Paul. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Let's give thanks for the cup. Lord, we thank you that we can celebrate communion together, that we can be thankful for your sacrifice for us. Thank you for the relationship that we can have with you by your blood, by your sacrifice. Just pray that we would be excited to share that with others. I just pray these things in your name. Amen.
In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, the necessity of it, the value of it, until he comes, which speaks of the resurrection. Right? Yeah. The one who conquered death. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for our families. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we have an opportunity to be part of a much larger family, brothers and sisters throughout time, Old Testament saints, New Testament saints. Lord, we realize that this period of time called the Age of Grace or the Church Age is a unique time, and a time in which, Lord, you made it very, very clear that you have dealt with all the sin of all people of all time. That we can rest in the fact that we're forgiven, that we're free, that we can actually live the way you want us to, and that you actually enable us as we rest in your word, rest in your promises, as we walk by faith, so that we can be the men and women you want us to be. So help us, Lord, to do that in our places of work, our families. Help us to encourage one another throughout this coming week. Help us to pray. Pray for those in authority over us. To pray for our neighbors. Pray for those who are living in fear. May we realize, Lord, that we have nothing to fear. In fact, as Paul was in prison, Lord, we realize that he didn't see it as a fearful thing. And people were astonished at it. Father, as your son went to Calvary, there was no fear. There was only the realization, Lord, that yes, it was a price to pay, as it were. Help us to be willing to pay the price, so to speak, in submitting our lives to your will in all of our relationships. Thank you for our church family. Undertake for those who are not well, for those who are weak. Grant them daily strength. Father, for those who are maybe don't have the perspective that they need, may they be refreshed in your word, and may we do all that we can to encourage one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to say it, and I'm going to. While you're in your home, greet each other with a holy handshake. Lord bless you. Talk to you again. Bye-bye.